Hi, this is Bonibel Ramatan, editorial manager for New Narrative and your usual host for this show. Today, though, I won't be hosting, as we have a very special episode for you. It's not going to be an interview in the usual sense, although it will feature several interviews with a few sources. You can say it's more like an audio documentary. The episode will be presented to you by Levi Masuli, who will be telling the story of former migrants turned riverside vegetable farmers in Santa Ana of the Rizal Province, Philippines. Without further ado, here is Santa Ana, Stories by the Riverside.
Partners, our investors,
economy to grow by
Sanatag, La Republica,
economic growth momentum,
the highest growth rate
in the private sector,
progress of GDP growth,
and an upward trend in tourism and employment.
Progress, pagunlad, pagkasenso, pagangat, upward vertical movements, skyscrapers jutting out of the surface. The upright, virile strength of stubborn structures.
Stronger, tougher, to weather any storm. True durability is to take whatever life throws at you. Like Wholesome Aqua X, the Philippines' first water-repellent cement. The cement that withstands the test of time.
Wholesome Philippines, a multinational Swiss-owned cement industry giant, reported a 79% loss in income in 2022.
But for the vegetable farmers in Santa Ana, Rizal, a community at the edge of Marikina River, just below the mountains of Montalban, right across the urban slums of Metro Manila, life isn't about sheer strength and resilience, but one's ability to adapt to the flow.
Root ng ano, kasi kailangan mapaibabaw yung original na lupa na sa ilalim.
You have to hack out the original soil underneath to work it out.
Kasi ito maraming ugat ang nasa ibabaw. Kung ginaganyan, yan, naaano yan, nahuhukay ang lupa.
Because these roots are covering it, you have to dig through it like that.
Pag ginagyan mo ng buto, diba, ganyan. Pag ginagyan mo yan, lalagyan mo ng buto dyan. Yan, tatabunan mo lang. Madali lang mag-ano yun, hindi siksik ang lupa.
So if you put in the seed, cover it, it will be more likely to sprout because the soil is not too compact and hard.
Tatay ko was an OFW, an overseas migrant worker, for more than 20 years before settling down in Santa Ana to till the land. We see the 74-year-old man hack at the hard earth, talking about working the hard surface to spill its fertile guts and let it receive the seeds he has in hand.
Dahil kaya ginawa ng Diyos yan, di ba pinatubuan lahat ng mga pananim yan bago siya naglalang ng tao.
God first made these plants before He made people.
Diyos, hanapin niyo lang dyan ang inyong ikabubuhay.
He said, you had to look for your sustenance in
ang
them.
Ang ikinabubuhay ng mga laman, na katulad nitong nakikita natin, yung lahat ng binubunga ng lupa, totoo naman sinabi ng Diyos. Sa pawis ng iyong mukha, kakain ka ng tinapay hanggang sa ikaw ay mauwi sa lupa. Sapagkat diyan ka kinuha, ay yung buhay mo ba sa amban ng galing? Di ba diyan ka kinuha sa lupa?
If we refer to the Bible, God said that through the fruits of your labor, you will live until you return to the earth. Because that is where we came from.
Buhay at ikabubuhay din. Panlaman yan. Iba naman yung... Nananawagan din po ako doon sa mga nanunungkulan na bigyan nyo naman ng pansin.
We're calling on the people in power to take a look.
Napakahirap talaga. Ano, kung ako, nasa 74 years old na ako, ito ba ay kailangan pa bang nakikita nyo akong nag-aasarol maghapon dahil sa kakulangan ng supply ng Department of Agriculture?
I'm already 74 years old. Is it right for me to continue hacking the earth all day because of the lack of supply from the Department of Agriculture?
Mga light equipments lamang na magagamit namin ng pangdukar, pang bungkal ng lupa, pang dilig sa halaman pag dumadating ang
What we really need are tractors, equipment, even light ones that we can use.
Hindi kami makapag-produce. Nagpapasalamat nga kami pag kami san may dumadating na tao dito sa amin, dito sa mga kanina namin.
Tatay Iko shares having spent decades in the vast deserts of the Middle East, trading his strength for foreign bills to dig up precious oil from the fossils of the ancient world, now lifeblood of the modern world. Driven by the need to feed his family and finding greener pastures in the dry dunes thousands of miles away, Tatay Iko's story resonates with many others in Santa Ana and the whole so-called Global South. South. A river always flows south, downstream. And now the rain comes again and multiplies the river tenfold. Nanay Marisa lives just a few meters south of Tatay Iko's makeshift hut, making a living out of stitching rags and reselling stuff off the internet.
She also was a migrant worker and has spent years taking care of other people's homes.
Din, halos yung mga ibang gamit ko, mga basa pa hanggang ngayon, dumating na naman itong bagyong paeng.
We haven't even recovered from Typhoon Cardin. My clothes and things were still wet when another typhoon hit, Typhoon Paeng.
Gusto ko kasi makakuha ng plywood para makagawa ng bahay. Ginawa ko, nililinis ko pa yung mga dumi ng pinagbigyan kami ng plywood para...
Even if I was not feeling well, I forced myself to get plywood from the flood debris. I cleaned them even when I was feeling unwell.
She will be spending the night at the covered basketball court because the mayor told them that they had to leave because there will be a basketball tournament tomorrow.
Sasabihan ka, magbaba na kayo, de kailangan ng covered court.
There was a time when they told us to leave because the covered court was supposed to be used for a school event.
Yung parang naisip ko, napakakawawa ko naman na gaganunin yung sila, sasabihan ka dyan sa covered court na alis na kayo dahil gagamitin namin, may event, may ganito.
I was really struck. I felt pity for myself. They told us to leave just like that. We didn't know or choose what happened to us. The government should give attention to those who are always affected by the floods.
The land cannot be owned, yet the people are forced to leave it to survive on the larger, more cruel rapids, the flow of capital and profit, more ferocious than any river, pushing to carry them off to faraway shores.
ADESPI is a community organizer of Damayang Migrante, a network of migrant advocates. She has been working with the vegetable farmers since 2020 during the global pandemic.
So when we think of turning the commons into private property and fencing off resources, this results in the exclusion of a community or the denial of the community's access to resources that were once shared among them or accessible to them. For the property owner, more likely than not, the main objective here is to make a profit. And with this mentality, it becomes very easy for resources to be over-extracted or used with very little regard for sustainability or holistic development. They're less likely to take into account a project's impact on people, the environment, and even its non-human inhabitants. It's the kind of thinking that looks at concrete infrastructure, skyways, and wider lanes as an indication of progress. And we can see that somewhat in the case of the Riverside vegetable farmers and their growing concerns about a sewage treatment plant that's going to be built in their community. There's this private water concessionaire that's laying the groundwork for the treatment plant that's said to be operational by 2025. And when you visit the riverside, there's this backhoe that's widening the pathway and has already encroached on a portion of the farmland that these agricultural workers have been tilling for years, even decades. This water concessionaire has already bought some parcels of this productive, fertile land at such a low cost because they had to pierce through it to make way for the treatment plant. Now, this didn't happen with any town hall or consultation with the vegetable farmers in the area, and there has been no assurance given to them that whatever land is remaining will not be further encroached on. So one of the tillers, the vice president of the local farmer association, has even speculated that the infrastructure being built might even aggravate flooding in the area. He mentioned that he noticed the water brought by recent typhoons has subsided more slowly since the early construction phase started. Every monsoon season, a massive problem for the farmers has been their crops getting waterlogged by heavy rains and the nearby river overflowing. Plus, the province of Rizal is also at the foothills of the Sierra Madre. And there's also the issue of quarry operations in the municipality and neighboring municipality, possibly weakening the capacity of watershed areas to control the amount of rainwater going downstream. For quite some time, there's been several environmental challenges that the farmers have been contending with, and here is potentially another one. So we can see that the farmers are up against a private enterprise here. In the eyes of the local government, their concerns don't hold as much weight as the water concessionaires, investors, or stakeholders.
Ngayon po tatay do, ano lang po, pakilala lang po kayo sa ano.
Ako?
Apo.
Ako, si Alfredo Cristobal.
My name is Alfredo Cristobal, a farmer.
Kasalukuyang nagpapalaki ng mga halaman.
Right now, I'm tending to the plants.
Malama ako magtatagumpay dahil...
Not sure if I'll succeed.
Nung nakarang araw, ano yun?
Because just the other day, the river grew.
Hindi umabot dito.
Fortunately, it didn't reach the plants.
Tapos, ngayon naman ang problema, nung tumigil yung ulan,
right now, after the raining stopped, I'm dealing with worms, which is why I'm here to monitor the plants. When I was younger, maybe I was 20 years old, we used to catch all sorts of fish there. We did not think about where we get our lunch. But when the landfill opened, all of those fish disappeared. The Payatas dump site, right? Then the Montalban landfill. When the river started to become polluted, all the fish were gone.
Tata Ido spent all of his life in Santa Ana, but things are changing, and he wants to give his children the option to leave and have a better life elsewhere.
Nakakapit pala sa basurahan po pala itong ilog.
Oo, oh, dahil yung katas niya dito tumatabo.
Yes, because the garbage sludge flows into the river.
Kahit hugas ng kamay, hindi ko makakapag-hugas. Ang bago talaga.
During the dry season, even washing your hands is not possible. It stinks like sewage.
Tata Ido says the stench becomes worse during the dry season when the river spreads itself too thin and the garbage juice ferments faster. He says the toxic sludge also affects the crops. It brings in unexplainable blights that turn leaves into a devilish red, worms that can decimate a harvest in a single night.
Oh, parang ano? Parang yung katas na at yung hangin, parang nakakasama rin sa ano.
Well, the garbage sludge and the air, those are bad for the plants.
Pagka yung ano, buod, lamok, ang dami lamok pagka yung umagos.
The worms suddenly attack. Worms, mosquitoes. There are a lot of mosquitoes when the sludge flows and it really reeks.
Pagka yung marami kang halaman't binaha, mag-tis ka na lang, back to zero.
Then he brings up the quarrying in the mountains of the Sierra Madre, where the river's headwaters spring forth. The silt that the big quarrying companies spill into the waters have piled up over the years and made the river a lot shallower. Thus,
Aqua X, the Philippines' first water repellent cement.
Thus, but the fight for land and life is not all sorrow and tragedy. In the south of Metro Manila, a progressive group of farmers, scientists, and advocates have showed that something can be done.
And I think what's being done by a progressive group of farmers in Lupang Ramos is worth emulating. Basically, Lupang Ramos is a 370-hectare patch of land in the province of Cavite that's had a long history of disputes. It's gone through the hands of Spanish friars, American colonizers, and in the 1960s, it was claimed by a landed family, the Ramos clan. In the 70s, a local ordinance in Cavite designated the land as a residential subdivision, and with that came the threat of tillers being evicted from the land. In the 90s, more disputes followed, and there were periods where the farmers would occupy the riverside and the flatter areas of the farmland to take back what was rightfully theirs. They sowed rice and corn, but their efforts were met with threats. Armed guards barricaded the farmers, roamed the land, and harassed them, according to one of the residents. Goons also tried to flatten their crops with a tractor, but the women and children stood in front of them to stop them from destroying the fruits of their labor. So this determined group of farmers sought the help of agrarian law experts and found loopholes in the Supreme Court ruling and ordinance that allowed the estate developer to turn the land into a residential area. And as a result of Kasama LR disputing that ordinance and building a case to revise the Supreme Court decision, they were able to get equipment and funding from the Department of Agriculture. In 2017, they successfully reclaimed 51 hectares of land for bungkalan or communal farming. And through these collective efforts, they're able to manage the land properly and the residents reap the benefits with the help of Masipag, which is a network of farmers and scientists that promote agroecology. They've been able to heal the land through pro-people and ecologically sound farming methods. The dominant food systems of food production rely mainly on monocropping and intensive use of chemical inputs from transnational corporations. Kasama LR is building an alternative that is more climate resilient and holistic. And because they're not reliant on imports because the Philippines is actually a net importer of fertilizers. We import 95% of it. They're making steps towards food sovereignty. What's amazing also is their approaches are democratically planned, needs-based, and crops are planted for their own and their community's subsistence, which is a contrast to what we have in the south of the country, where we have pineapple and banana plantations that serve the needs of countries like the US and Japan. Kasama LR has a model that is worth scaling up if food security is a priority. I think these are some of the lessons that we can share with the Rizal farmers, that Kasama LR's continuous fight for their right to till the land as a collective and the wins that they've had is a result of consistent organizing, educating, and raising the consciousness of their fellow members, as well as building networks of solidarity with agrarian reform advocates and law experts. For the Rizal farmers to push for mitigation strategies and climate resiliency in the face of massive deforestation, land grabs, quarry operations, and consequent river siltation that aggravates flooding, it may help to consult with experts, engineers, even environmental advocates to build a proposal that can be presented to the local government. The challenge is there's a tendency for the riverside farmers to be individualistic. As organizers, as advocates, the task falls on us to immerse ourselves in their communities, have regular consultations, spark conversations about the plight of tillers from different parts of the country, while highlighting the ones that have collectively asserted their rights and made gains. By learning from them, learning about them, and sharing stories of those who have struggled and continue to do so, it's our hope that they can be emboldened by those who have fought and won.
We ask Tata Ido what he thinks is the most beautiful sound he has ever heard.
Ay, ano? Ano po pinakamagandang tunog na narinig niyo?
Tunog ng truck.
The sound of the truck.
Bumubusina.
Bumubusina. Mahilig po kayo sa busina?
Hindi. Ay, no. Pag-ingin naman.
No, that. Listen to that.
Yung
misa.
Misa, yung ibo.
Nung ano, nung may gansa pa ako, ang gaganda ng tunog dito sa madaling araw.
When I still had some geese, I really liked the sound here in the early morning.
Pag may tao, nung may gansa ako, pag may tao.
When I have visitors.
Parang aso.
The turkey usually responds.
Tata Ido asks, who owns the mountains? Who owns the river? Who owns all of these? We said, no one. He replied, so who gave them the right to level that mountain? He laughs and we laugh with him. I thought I heard the river laugh at us. What is a river but many tiny drops of rain? The wisp of storms that rise from the seas and covers the earth. The beads of sweat from every toiling body. The glass of water that quenches the thirst. This river has seen everything. We share a minute of silence watching the river in awe of its relentless vertical flow that can turn rock into mud, that can level any edifice on its way,
This episode was written, hosted, and produced by Levi Masuli, with additional engineering by Dania Yudo. Levi Masuli is a sound artist and community organizer for Migrante Philippines, whose community work focuses on strengthening local migrants' formations, providing education, and empowering their capacity for political mobilization and cultural expression. This Southeast Asia Dispatches special episode was brought to you by New Narrative and made possible by the BBC Story Fellowship. Find other stories produced in this fellowship and find out more about what you can do to support migrant workers, stateless people, and other displaced populations at newnarrative.com/story-fellowship. That's newnarrative.com/story-fellowship. My name is Bonnie Bell Rambatan, and I'll see you around.